Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, we have something special and treat for everyone. We have a special guest with us today. We're introducing Darcy Hawkins. Donald, why don't you tell a little bit about Darcy? Give a good introduction for her. Make her feel warm.
Well, besides being a good friend for both you and I, Darcy is a self-employed massage therapist and an energy healer at a Harmonious Touch Massage in the Tacoma area. She's also an independent distributor of It Works Global, where she helps her clients jumpstart their healthier lifestyle through wraps and supplements. And if you want to find out more about her wraps, you can look her up at www.wrap-u-healthy.com, and we'll put that in the show notes. So welcome, Darcy.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
We're just as excited. It's not a competition, I should say. We're tied in excitement with you there.
No, I'm more excited than you, David. I'm sure.
Well, we're going to let everyone know that the topic we've decided to talk about was following your guidance. And I know that, Darcy, you've had a lot of experiences in just your own personal, internal or external, whatever kind of guidance you want to call it, and following it. So why don't you go ahead and say whatever you like about your recent experiences. You don't have to go into detail or too personal if you don't want to. Just kind of the experience of working with guidance.
I have to say about 2009, I got the bug to learn more about the metaphysical. And that's when I joined a meetup and met both you, David, and Donald there. And from that point on, it seems that following my guidance, having those aha moments has been exploding. And especially within the last 6 months, it's just been phenomenal. Just being more aware of what my path is and following my path and seeing how it just exponentially goes in different directions and is just building me and growing me spiritually. It's incredible.
A lot of people I know have difficulty. They're like, I know I'm supposed to be doing something. I know I have like a path, a destiny, a purpose to be here. This is one of the things that I've wrestled with too. So how did you find your path and how do you know that it is your path?
Part of it was painful, I'll be honest. The other part is being able to drop down into a meditative state and just feel the truth of what I'm supposed to be resonate in my heart space. And just knowing without a shadow of a doubt that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I wanted to ask you real quick about the meditative state. You said that you drop down into a meditative state. Meditative.
Yes.
Sometimes my enunciation kind of gets
it,
away
say
from
it,
me.
Say it.
In a meditative state. It's. There's a lot of this. So you said you drop down into a meditative state. And when you say that, are you talking about actually using a deliberate, creating a space of meditation? Or are you talking about just kind of a meditation state as you're going about your day?
Actually, both. When I first started off in 2009, I was a novice at everything. And so I was out there as a student looking for more information. And so I went to a couple different sources to learn how to meditate. With the ease that I can meditate now, or at that point, I would take a special time each day and meditate for anywhere between 15 to 45 minutes. Now I can just close my eyes and be still, and I can get into the meditative state.
Nice. You know, I want to add something since we're talking about this a little bit, and I think this is really key with guidance. As I was coming up with the show notes and as I was doing the links, this is specifically show notes for the last episode that we did on magic and prayer. One of the things I came across that really kind of slapped me sideways was balancing prayer and meditation. A lot of people say, you know, you don't need to pray because you're asking for things, but meditation is where you really want to be. And this article said sometimes we do too much meditation and not enough praying. And the essence of it was praying is asking, and meditation is listening for the answer. Well, we're listening for an answer for a question that we haven't asked when we do a lot of meditation without prayer. I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, and how that it's interesting. If you don't ask for guidance, if you don't say, where do I want to go? How do you know, you know, if somebody says go north, you're like, what's a north if you don't really ask the question?
I think Chessie mentioned that when we had her on as a guest too. That's one of the things I learned from her, because I had never heard that or thought of it or remembered that before, where it's just like, well, yeah, you can pray all day, but you need to listen occasionally and stop and meditate, and meditate is listening, but you don't want to meditate all day because then you're never asking anything.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a balance in there. And I think maybe, Darcy, for you, was it just kind of learning to ask the questions? Because sometimes, you know, you say, I don't even know what to ask. I don't even know what I want. In fact, I want to say, Darcy, when we first met, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the time it felt like you were really in a seeking place, and you were really kind of, you didn't have as much of a focus or a direction at that time.
That's absolutely right. I knew I was supposed to be there at the meetup. I went there in blind faith, if you will, and have come to realize that I was supposed to be there to start this awakening for me. Hmm. So yeah, I was floundering, but I think I've been floundering since my early 20s, trying to get myself to this point where I am now.
Hmm. Yeah. And I've never seen it floundering. Looking at, from myself 5 years in the future to back to now, I would say I'm floundering, because I'm still figuring out the specifics of my path and whatnot. I think whenever you're following guidance and you're really in tune with your intuition, like what you said, it can seem like you really don't know why you're doing stuff. You're kind of just, you just go and you do and you learn and you experience, and it's, and then you're just like, oh, late, you know, in hindsight, that's why I needed to go there, so I could do this. So this led to that step, to the next step, and it brought me to the step where I am now, where it's just like, oh, I had to go all these little itty bitty baby steps to get to where I am now. And if I had that, if I didn't take that one piece that was there, for instance, just for example, I don't know if this is true for you or not, but if that one step of removing going to the meetup, you might be in a completely different place now, and that may or may not have been in a more positive place for you, because that's what I found. I basically set up a thing with my guidance where it's just like, look, if I am going to have my ego overwhelm me and keep me from doing the things that I absolutely are in my best interest for the goals that I want to accomplish, then I give permission to put me on autopilot. It's really interesting when I go on autopilot, because I realize it's not like I blink out or anything. I'm still completely conscious. It's just literally like I'm moving here. I've decided to go here. Oh, I've just signed up for a new website to receive their like weekly newsletter or whatever. Okay, well, this is interesting. And then I have the confidence, the faith that whatever is happening at any given point with that, when I go into automatic mode, that it's for my betterment. And it happens all the time that it comes back of, yeah, this was really important that you had done this step so that you'd got here, so you got this piece of information, so that you met this person, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Darcy, I want to ask this about going through the steps, because you did say that part of it was painful. Why do you suppose we actually get painful steps when it comes to guidance?
My belief is that I repeated those same experiences but didn't take the steps I was supposed to, and for it to be impressed upon me to get it the right way, if you will, it needed to be a little painful.
In this incarnation, or?
Possibly. Whether it's just this incarnation or a multitude of incarnations, I'm not absolutely sure.
I call it the 2x4 lesson.
And
you call it the what?
Say that again?
I call it the 2x4 lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, David, I'm curious. You follow spirit in your guidance as well. What are some of the experiences that you've come into contact with through following your guidance?
Some of the experience I've come in contact with through following my guidance?
Well, yeah, like, okay, for example, the contrast between where you are now and, like, Darcy, when you first started, you know, really having a strong confidence in following your guidance.
I wrote a song once that I called the line in the one of the lines in the song is I learned the language of my thought again. And it's almost in this, it's more I learned the language of my feelings again. In fact, I once had a reading about this once, an intuitive reading, that it's about following feeling. It's so yin and yang because I get this really strong urge to do something. And it's not that blind pull, you know, like the guy in the night going, sleepwalking thing. It's more just like this, you know, I really have an urge to do this. I want to do this. And one of the examples would be the meetup. I just had this really strong impetus to do the meetups, you know, and to go to the meetups. And for me, there's always things in little bits and pieces. It's in chunks. So I'll swallow the chunk, but a lot of times it's for me to get exactly what I need and to fulfill that purpose. And if I continue on it, then I'm just burning daylight and spinning wheels. And then what happens is I get this opposite emotion, which is like, I just don't want to do this. I don't, even though it's something I'm continuing to do, if I get that, I don't want to do this, that means it's served its purpose for that time and it's time to extract. And so it's really emotionally driven.
How do you know the difference between, you know, just getting bored of something and the time of following that that step or that course is over and it's time to move on to other shores and whatnot?
Getting bored with something, that might be part of it, is getting bored with something.
Oh, so boredom can be a clue that whatever path you're following on, that specific course at this time is possibly done with, or you've learned all that you need to learn?
Well,
or
boredom is not a very good example because that's not what I find. Well, okay. Yeah, no, actually, I correct myself. I do find that, but it's a whole ball of wax. Boredom is like a little subset, but the underlying theme is that while I'm in the experience, I'm just frustrated because I don't feel like I'm gaining anything from it or the effort I'm putting. Like, I'll give a good example is theater. I was really pulled and drawn to do theater, and I did it, and I did it, and I did it. And then there came to a point where I was continuing to do it, and I dreaded doing it. All the parts of it just felt like more work than pleasure. And at that point, it was just like, I'm done. It served its purpose. I don't know completely what the purpose of it is, but I know that there's a foundation that's created for something, having had that experience.
I don't know if it's from ego speaking, but would you call that burnout? Or could this be the void that Lisa was mentioning or with the picture she posted last night on Facebook? Is this a void?
Ah, that's a really good question. I think the void is more personal. And you know what? Let's explore that whole thing about the void. Thank you, Darcy, because this is that really struck me when she posted that on Facebook. And for our listeners, a friend of ours on Facebook had posted about just kind of going through an ascension process. And a lot of people think that all of a sudden you're just going to, you know, it's going to be like Left Behind. Is that what it's called?
Oh, Left Behind. Yeah.
I mean, the ascension is not a Left Behind. She was saying ascension is just kind of a little personal awakening steps. And sometimes there's these aha ecstatic moments. And on the other side of it, you have the voids. So, Darcy, yeah, you know, maybe it is. Maybe I just didn't recognize it, but that actually very likely could be a void. It's like sucking all the juice out of an orange, and you're left with nothing but rind, and you're still trying to suck the juice out of the rind. That's what it feels like to me.
For the listeners who have not read the article yet.
Well, I think that's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'll post it in the show notes, by the way.
So. Yeah, definitely. But describe what the void is, because actually I can do that. To me, what I got from it is the void is just a resting period where you followed your guidance, you've reached a new level of understanding or enlightenment, and then there's a rest period, and that rest period is what this article was calling the void. I found that kind of interesting as well, too, because when I was a lot younger, I was a very introverted person, a B-type personality. And then I became, through friends that I was hanging out with, very comfortable being extroverted and likewise an A-type personality. And those are not synonymous, but for me, that's kind of how it worked. And what I find is there are times when I get to that void where my A-type personality is like, okay, come on, let's go. Let's start the next thing. Let's start the next experience. Let's start the next learning phase. And I literally have to recognize that that's happening and then allow my B-type introverted personality to be like, okay, dude, just chill. Just sit back and, you know, rest a little bit because you don't want to get burned out on your enlightenment before you get too far.
You know, I do want to bring it back to the little bit of the painful thing because I think a void sometimes does require a little bit of pain. I think sometimes sometimes our most profound growth is not just merely rest. I think it's we have to molt and shed our skin. And sometimes that is, it's just painful. And I think that sometimes the void is intense pain to make us change direction or stop or redefine or rebuild.
Is that kind of what happened with you, Darcy?
Exactly. I identified with what she had posted immediately, and the void from, I guess, the beginning of the year, the summer solstice has been in the forefront of my mind that something was going to happen. Not necessarily, of course, planet-wide, but to me personally in my spiritual growth. And as we got closer and closer to the summer solstice, I found myself going into a funk, and then it developed into a depression. And it was a couple days after the solstice was over that I popped out of it. It was like going through a door. So it was a very physical experience. There's still residual effects from it that I'm still trying to get back into sync where with my spiritual growth and what I'm doing with my physical body in growing, how do I put this, melding both my spirituality and my physical growth in business and moving forward. So that part of it is still, I'm moving sluggishly, I guess, whereas before I was bouncing like a bunny with my spiritual growth and everything was just falling into place and, you know, flowers were sprouting off the top of my head, if you will. But now it's just like I'm going through a mire. So,
well, let me ask this about that. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying that I was making fun of myself and I'm just a bit weird.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, we're all a little weird.
You probably have a card, I'm imagining. I do. It's been notarized.
Man, I'm still waiting for mine in the mail.
Yeah, well, you keep changing addresses. I think that's what the problem is there.
And states, you know, states residents like, you move too much, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't get you a weird card unless you hold still for a minute or two. It's like a collection agency.
Yeah.
We can't find you unless you hold still.
But what I wanted to ask about that process, Darcy, is, do you feel like you're going to have to go through that again for the next phase? Or do you feel like, I mean, do you feel like that's a prerequisite for every time you reach a new phase? Or do you feel like you've experienced that and now in each subsequent ones, you'll experience it a little differently? I mean, does it worry you that you'll have to go through a little miniature dark night of the soul, maybe just a dark couple hours or whatever?
Yeah, it is worrying me because the residual effects are still here. And it's been a long while since I've experienced this. And so with what knowledge that I'm going to be learning that I know is coming up, it does have me worried because I was pretty down in the dumps. It was just shocking how down in the dumps I was compared to what I was experiencing before.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that happens with me too. With subsequent experiences, with subsequent dark nights of the soul, or voids or rest periods, I've noticed that depending on what I just went through will affect how the void happens. Like for things that are more easier for me to understand and work through, they don't take me out of the game and sideline me for as strongly as some things that really, you know, get to the core of who I am and what I'm interested in doing, you know, kind of like stuff from like childhood where the way I was treated by friends or family or the way the personal view I had of myself I meet somebody or I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden one of those little things are triggered and that's like, oh, this is the beginning of this new thing and of this new phase. And once that ends, those that are so ingrained in me could be more intense than the ones that are more just like, oh, yeah, know that, got it, lesson learned, moving on. Or at least that's for me.
I'm finding that too. What I had experienced as a child, I thought I had put behind me, that it didn't really impact who I was because I pretty much knew which direction I was going. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding things that had happened in my childhood actually had a really profound effect on me, and I'm working through them right now to let go of past hurts and forgive so I can continue moving forward. So what was posted on Facebook was so profound that it just mirrored many of the things that I've already experienced up to this point that I couldn't quantify.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious for you guys, how do you recognize what's just garnish? What is just, how do you recognize garnish? How do you know an onion from a pickle?
It's parsley. It's parsley.
Yeah, it starts with a G. Yeah, yeah.
It's relish.
It's a, yeah, do you relish this whole thing?
Do we have a parsley chakra?
Maybe it's the...
it's kale.
And where would you find this parsley chakra? What was that, Darcy?
She said
it's
kale.
Oh,
I don't understand kale. I never got kale. I had a cat that liked it, but I never got it. I seriously did it.
Kale chips are awesome.
You like kale chips? Have you've had kale chips?
Oh yeah.
Really? Yeah. They've managed to figure out what to do with kale. It sounds like.
Oh, I like kale. And it's so good for you.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is I don't hate it. I just don't understand it. My taste buds go. Can you tell me what we're doing here? And I'm like, eating kale? They're like, I don't, okay. I'm going to go
does
watch a show.
Does not compute.
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask you guys is, how do you recognize guidance as opposed to what's just wishful thinking or whimsy or just ego desire?
For me, whenever I have something that I feel is definite guidance and does not have to be taken care of immediately, I normally give it 3 days. And the reason why I do it give it 3 days is because within that time, I know whether it's going to be ego or whether it's going to be spirit or something that I should do. If it's ego for me gets tired after the first day or two. By that third day, if it's something other than ego, my intuition or guidance, then it's good and it's like, okay, we got a green light, we can go. That doesn't work with everything because some things require more of an immediate, response. And at those times, I just, like what we said earlier, go with my emotional gut is kind of like, does this make me feel empowered or disempowered? That's my key word right there. If it makes me feel disempowered, like, regardless of what it is, I'm like, no, we're not playing with this one at the moment. If it makes me feel empowered, let's follow this line down and see where it goes.
For me, I take it in and reflect on it, meditate on it to see if it resonates as truth, if it's my truth. And then I know and it's what I'm supposed to do. And then usually it's pretty immediate on what my confirmation is. If ego's involved, that's pretty flagrant, and then I can put it aside. And then there's some other things that it's like, wow, is this really what it's supposed to be? Then of course I share it with you guys and say, hey, but I utilize my friends to see if this sounds like it's something that's supposed to happen.
Kind of a feedback bounce board thing.
Right. Is that buying me time like you're doing, Donald? I never really thought of it that way.
I think that is a way to buy time. Okay, let me give you an example. At the beginning of the year, New Year's hit, and within the first week of 2012, I was just sitting there going, I have this overwhelming desire to do role-playing games with people like Dungeons and Dragons, sit down at a table, pencil and paper, and have that kind of a social interaction with people. I signed up for a couple meetups. I sent emails back and forth with a couple people. I was invited to a couple games, but I never actually went to any online games or any face-to-face games. And I think in February, I had totally lost most of my interest in there. I was there confounded, just like, why was I so, gung-ho about it like a month ago? And then all of a sudden now it's just like, eh, I could let it go or let it, whatever. About that time is when I was introduced to stand-up comedy, and there's a place down here that where I live where you're able to do stand-up comedy and see comedy and whatnot. And I was like, okay, this I feel very strongly for, and I was easily moved in this direction. Well, the interesting thing that I found after starting to frequent this comedy club quite a bit is it is actually in a strip mall, and the left side of it is a really nice guitar store, and to the left of that is a comic book store that has nightly role-playing games. That was one of the places that I saw that people meet to play, and that I was going to end up being at. And so for me, I think it was my guidance or spirit basically saying, okay, we're going to get you to this comedy area right now because there's something in it that's beneficial for you that is exceptionally important for you to learn or know about. And if we can get you into it by having you follow down this path of getting into role playing, which is literally like a one music store between you and the comic store, then at one of those times, maybe you'll see that there's a comedy store and be interested in that, investigate, and then you'll be where, pretty much where I am now. And to bring that where I am right now, a few months later, is the comedy thing is giving me a lot of comfort being up in front of people that I have not had since I was doing singer-songwriter stuff. It's also giving me a lot of confidence with, oh, I write a joke. I don't know if it's funny. I have no idea. I have no idea if I can deliver it correctly or time it out correctly. But getting up and just saying, okay, here it is. Let's see what happens. And just having that, getting into that place of, this is your stuff, present it. This is your stuff, present it. And becoming comfortable with that, that's why I feel like I was guided to start off with that whole role-playing thing and where it ended up. So I think there is a definite course there where there was a part of my ego that was saying, hey, this is not ego-based. This is something that is beneficial for you. And that's what my guidance was saying is, this is a path that where you are right now would be very helpful that we can work with. And my ego is not saying, let's go play games. Oh, let's do comedy because we're bored and don't have anything else to do. And so I think that's kind of, for me, an example of the difference between acting out of ego and acting out of guidance. I may have taken a long way around to get to that point and given a lot more information, but that's just been my experience for this particular time for 2012. And who knows, next 6 months, who knows?
But you know, I got to be honest with you, Donald. I'm not really sure. I'm still not seeing where it's differentiated for you.
Because my natural inclinations would have probably been being the whole introverted, don't want to really get out and do much. And so, oh man, I have to go out and meet people and do something that I'm not really well versed in, such as role playing. And I don't know if I want to learn how to do all that stuff again and really understand. It seems like a lot of work. Yeah, I could just hang out and do what I do right now without doing that. That's more of an ego based. That's more of my, yeah. Does that make more sense?
A little bit, a little bit. Did
So.
you understood it, Darcy? Did you?
I took it more that what he was striving at with what he would thought was ego was actually spirit trying to get him to where he needed to be, and he was dragging his feet on what he was intended to do.
And
Is
I want to.
that
Oh, go ahead.
no, that's pretty much it.
Oh. I've got it. I want to talk about that because you said spirit, and that's interesting because the form of guidance is what seems to vary for people. When there's people, of course, who say God wants me to do this, and there's other people who say spirit, and then there's other people you'll hear say my guides told me this and that and that. And so I'm curious, just for you guys, how you describe your guidance, or what you contribute your guidance to. You said spirit, Darcy. So what? Talk a little bit more about what that is.
For me, it is the universal force that is out there, irregardless of, and hopefully I won't offend anybody, whatever name or label you want to put on it. There is one force out there in my belief system, whether you call it God, goddess, spirit, great creator, great spirit, whatever you want to call that created everything.
Okay.
In my belief system, you have creator, then you also have Mother Earth, Father Sun, that blends it all within to have it again reflected within the creator within yourself, because it's all one.
So there's not like a specific guy named, you know, Bob Sanchez or...
Yeah, there's no Jose.
Well, actually, for me, for a long time, I worked with my guides, and because they were my intermediary between me and my higher self. Yes, they did have names. They didn't. Bob Sanchez was not one of them, but hey, you know. And now I wonder if we're going to get some feedback like, "Hey, I know Bob Sanchez. He's a nice guy." And like,
he's a nice guide.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't resist.
Exactly. So for me, there was a little bit of time between there where I was working with what I called my guides before I was able to go more directly in line with my higher self. Mm-hmm. I still work with my guides because that's an energy I'm comfortable with. That's a system. Well, I don't like to bring everything down to make it all sound formulaic and academic. I see everything as frequency, so saying I'm working with my guides is a certain frequency that I've done for a long time and I'm comfortable with, and is a different note on the scale than saying I'm working with my higher self or I'm working with my intuition.
Okay. So now is there any difference with how your guides work with you versus how your higher self works with you versus how your intuition works with you?
Yes. For me, when I say I'm working with my guides, that's more of energy healing, working with other people, talking with their guidance, getting in rapport with them, and communicating with them on more of a healing level. Whereas working with my higher self, that's more of a more personal life path, intuition.
But don't all roads lead to Rome? I mean,
yeah,
what if it is your higher self? What if it is your spirit guide? What if it is your Aunt Janie? I mean,
this is what I'm saying, though. This is exactly what I'm saying. Is to me, if I'm being honest with myself, they're all basically the same thing. The levels of experience and enlightenment that I have grown into through these voids and through these experiences over the years, I've learned different names for different frequencies, different notes, different tones, and some of them I'm comfortable with.
I've got to interject here.
Because
what you're saying, I understand and it makes sense. And I think that, and I was playing a devil's advocate because goodness knows, you know, I never do that during the show, but I wanted to do that because I wanted to bring something up and Darcy has an absolute your point on the all that is in the spirit is very valid, and that's kind of the point I was making there. And okay. I think you could play it in both directions. Sometimes it's just a matter of it doesn't matter where it comes from. If the guidance resonates with your truth, it's good. I think then on the flip side, going a little bit back to the kind of last episode's magic and prayer idea, sometimes I think it does help us to have something that has a certain resonance or has a certain definition behind it. For example, like Darcy, your totem is the tiger, correct?
Yes.
And so the tiger has a specific resonance and frequency. So you draw on that particular resonance when you want to accomplish something very specific. And I think that's what you're saying as well, Donald.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could say, you could throw it out there to the universe and see what sticks, but if you really want to kind of tighten up your focus, tighten up your intention setting, then it is nice to call on Bob Sanchez, if that's who happens to be, I don't know, he's the best at picking out loaves of bread or whatever, because you knew a guy in high school named Bob Sanchez and he always brought you free bread on Tuesdays. And
exactly. And that's kind of like what I was looking at, where it's just like, if you're an ER doctor, you are used to having all this technology and stuff around you that you can use to keep somebody alive or bring them back to life if they've only been dead from a short amount of time. But if you're out in the middle of the woods and you have no concept of first aid whatsoever, then you can't help somebody very well. Whereas even though an ER doctor should know how to do first aid, if all they know is how to work an ER room and they don't know first aid, then being out in the wilderness is going to be a very uncomfortable place for them because they don't have all their stuff. What I was saying is, as I was experienced along through years of growth and everything, I learned different parts of first aid so that when I got into the ER, then I could work on multiple levels, and I knew exactly why I was doing this because it related to this thing that I had learned years ago, which related to this other thing, et cetera, et cetera.
And do you work with those same kind of definitive modalities, Darcy, when you're looking for guidance, or do you just kind of throw it out there?
When I'm coming from a healing perspective, I absolutely do, and so I neglected to share with that. And so for me, it's not my guides, it's actually the animals. I get more information and guidance and intuition from animals than I do from guides. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I go in for massage, I am focusing on setting prayers and intentions for the session with my client, and also working with their higher self, and then the angels become present within the room. Mm-hmm. And within the angel spectrum, there's the ascended masters within that grouping as well. So, you know, I have to agree with Donald. You're calling in different entities, I guess, for that specific healing. But for intuition for me, messages for me, I go to the animals first. And then as far as seeing if anything resonates within me, that's when I hit Mother Earth, Father, Son, and Creator. So it's everything coming in to make one whole around me, one concentric circle around me. I guess it would be more of an oval.
Nice.
Yeah. The whole of me.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something else that I wanted to bring up. I know this is going into healing, and so.
Oh, no worries.
But, you know, distance healing for people, I had an interesting experience with that because I was sending healing energy to somebody who was across the United States. And when I did that, normally I can see the healing coming from the above them and sprinkling down on them. In this case, it circled the person's entire body, dipping down into Mother Earth and going up into the heavens, and just had this, you know, bubble around this person. And that was the first time that it had ever happened for me.
Oh,
and that was just a concept that I wanted to touch on with you guys, too.
You know, I want to tie healing in a little bit to what we're talking about with guidance, because there's the idea that to give healing only when healing has been asked for. And there's other times that people say that our guides are not allowed to interfere in our life unless we request for their guidance. So my question is, when we receive guidance, have we made ourselves open to it? Or do you guys really agree with the idea that guidance can only be given if it's asked for?
Well, David, I feel like you're doing an interview for Darcy and I, so I'm going to turn that question back on you and have you answer your own question.
About guidance?
What you just asked. What is your take on it?
I'm going to trump you, and I'm going to throw it back to Darcy because she's our guest. People hear us talk all the time. They never get to hear Darcy talk.
Pass. Uh-oh.
I am such a good friend, I'm going to throw it back on you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it went back to Donald, to me. So. All right. Okay, so let me see. What did I ask? Because I was just going to – now I have to ask myself the same question about, guidance, if you're asking for it, if it's open. I look at it this way. I think that our guidance, especially what's outside of the higher self, because the higher self has kind of a vested interest but says, I'm not going to take your free will away. But I think a lot of guidance, when we don't ask for it, you could still get hints. I think that our guidance will sometimes just give us hints where they basically say, you know, I'm not helping you. If you happen to go down this road, you might find this here. You could pick it up. You don't have to pick it up, but just leaving it out there. You know, they're not going to shove things down your throat unless you're really making huge mistakes. But they're not going to stop you from making huge mistakes. They're just going to start, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs.
Oh, really? But your guidance screams at the top of their lungs?
I think a lot of people's guidance does when we're not listening and we really need to. When we're really going off the beat, off the path, as it were. I'm putting path in capital letters and quotes and gold letters. But I think that's what it does. I think it can yell. I mean, one of the cases in points is, Darcy, you said that you had some really painful times. You had a serious void that you went through. And I think that sometimes pain in and of itself, even physical, literal pain, is guidance really screaming at us.
I guess I can agree with that to a degree. I don't know if you were throwing that over to Darcy or me, but since we were passing the question around left backwards and forwards, which that was amusing. For me, when I was being taught the whole healing thing and getting in touch with your healing guidance and whatnot, and that was a big first lesson, like the first thing you hear almost is like, okay. You do not give healing unless it is asked for.
Which I don't completely follow, to be honest.
Exactly. What I have found over the years is that there are different ways of it being asked. When you're able to remove the ego, when you're able to be in a place of pure love, you have more of a, I don't know, sixth sense, more of a idea of when offering a healing is warranted or being asked for, even if it's not verbal, and that there are times where you just do it.
You know, I've got to interject here, guys. Sorry, I'm just doing this a lot of got to interjects things.
Yeah, you are.
Things are just popping in my head here. And both of you guys are healers. I'm not nearly the healers that you guys are, but I'm just saying that's I don't really work in that realm much. I do the sending healing kind of thing, but I'm not a hands-on guy generally, even though I'm attuned in Reiki.
I disagree, David.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Of the podcasts themselves offer healing in a perspective that you're helping people grow in their spirituality or expanding their knowledge, and for me that is considered healing.
Mm-hmm. Oh okay, well, you know what, I'm going to take that and run with it, what you just said. That's a good point. And I want to use that in contrast, because when I, like with Jackie, I've got my Reiki mastership, and I, a while back when I was first learning Reiki, I was like, oh, I want her to be out of pain so badly. And it really kind of had an adverse effect, and it didn't have as much a positive effect. Now when I do Reiki for her, and I think what happens when we're doing this podcast is I apply the healing for Jackie and I say, I'm just going to apply the healing, and I'm not going to be vested in the outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be present.
Exactly.
Get out of your own way.
Getting out of my own way. And sometimes, and I think that with guidance, sometimes we block our own guidance when we are pressing for that outcome. I'm going to follow this guidance because I want this so badly, rather than guidance is, I'm moving in this direction and I'm just going to let go and I'm going to trust. Do the fall backwards game, you know? And that's what I have to say about that.
Isn't it ego talking when it's saying that I want this so badly?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then going back to only providing healing when it's asked, if someone comes to me for whatever reason, as far as for massage or for energy healing, however they come to me for me to lay hands on them in a massage atmosphere, that is implicit request. For healing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What about if you say, well, you know, so-and-so's daughter is really sick and they post it on Facebook and they say, please send her healing. What about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then there's also the blanket sending out of love and healing for the entire planet, the whole universe, and letting it fall wherever it may fall to help those that it's going to benefit, mm-hmm. whoever is seeking it, whether they're aware of it or not.
I call those love bombs.
Yeah.
Where basically you create this healing energy ball and you just like, oh, they're having difficulty over in this part of the world or this part of the country or whatever. For me, I just create this love bomb where I put this energy and I put it over into that part of the country and I let it go and I let it. It's kind of like a water balloon for what I see, and I drop it and it's just go, and that love expands all over the whole thing. And I know I have weird imagination, but that for me that's how it works. So
sure.
I think that's what you're talking about, Darcy.
Exactly, and I like your analogy. Yeah. It is. It's a love bomb.
Yeah, exactly. And you think our guides do the same thing? Our guidance does the same thing?
Love bombs?
Well, in a way, I mean guidance bombs. Let's say.
I want to go back.
Go ahead, Darcy.
Boy, I'm just butting in left and right.
Yeah, please, I mean that's why you're here. You're
our guest. That's yeah. and this is why we chose this topic is because you have immediate knowledge on it, and so yeah, butt in. We don't mind at all.
Well, it's just as far as guidance is concerned, as we are ascending in different levels, I think my belief system is that the guidance that we're receiving is becoming more and more pointed based on what level we are in the ascension process.
Yeah.
Because we're ready to hear it and to be corrected because we are so close in this incarnation to where we're supposed to be. Whereas in previous incarnations where we're not quite as spiritually evolved, the choice is still out there. Okay, you can do this. I'm going to let you know this is what you should be doing, but if you don't do it, it's okay. And I'm going to make life a little bit difficult for you, but there is a lesson to be learned for it. And then in further incarnations, then you'll get it and you'll get to be where you're supposed to be, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. It to me, if I understand what you're saying, it's kind of like you got to learn the rules so that when you break them, you know why you're breaking them.
I think of it as you could do this the easy way or you could do this the hard way.
A meek enough or you can't refuse. You know, yeah, I could just see all these gangster, these mobster spirit guides like, yeah, I was working with my person this other day and he's just not getting it. So I had to slap him upside the spiritual face just to get him to fall back in line. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I'm going to dump a love bomb on top of his head. And then following along with that, and so with me being a healer or a conduit for healing, depending on who's listening, because it may offend someone for me to just come out and say I am a healer. With that, the healing goes along both in communication, with touch, presence. You're making space for healing in whatever you're doing. And everybody has the capacity to be a healer, but may not have realized exactly what that looks like yet. And everyone is on their own path to evolve into a healer. So my postings on Facebook is geared at that, and that's my communication piece for healing. It's sending out whatever words that are given to me by spirit, my higher self, the angel realm, whoever you want to say, and then I put it out there to whoever it's going to resonate with. And usually, 99.9% of the time, it's me that it's resonating with, but I know I need to share it out there because it's going to resonate with somebody else, whether they acknowledge it or not.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's, what you put is very profound. And I know I've seen the feedback on those, on the pieces that you put out there every day. And people really are positively affected by it. So just know that it's not falling on deaf ears and your guidance is spot on that.
Well, thank you. There's ego in there for a little while going, well, no one is liking this. No one is posting on it or anything. And then, of course, Spirit came back and slapped me upside the head and said, it's not really about you.
And yet, it is all about you.
Yeah.
That's one thing that took me forever to learn, with some of my stuff that I've done over the past few years is feedback, getting that external validation. And like you, Darcy, I got to a point where it was just like, it's not meant just to get feedback, because then you'll do it just to play to the grandstand, play to the audience. And if you're really being honest with yourself, that's playing out of ego, thus playing to the audience. Whereas if you're doing it just from yourself, from a place of guidance and intuition and wisdom, then that's going down more of a spiritual path, regardless if anyone sees it. You can be walking out in the woods or whatever, find a rock and say, "Hey, I love you," inscribe it on a rock or whatever with another rock, I don't know. And if nobody ever sees it, that energy is still right there on that rock at that point, at that time.
It goes deeper than that, Donald. You put it on the rock, it's going down into Mother Earth, and it's spreading out through the root system, down into the core of the earth, and it's just sprouting everywhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's intention creating instant healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, that would be more like a love grenade instead of a love bomb. This land is going to be radiated for the next 500 years because of this love grenade. Cool!
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would just be so awesome.
I think it happens all the time. So, yeah. So, David, I'm kind of curious as to your take, because you've been playing more of the moderator role for a lot of this podcast, and I'm curious as to kind of like your final thoughts on guidance and what we've talked about thus far.
Well, it's just been a lot of really interesting kind of food for thought as far as guidance goes. And there's been just like little tiny shifts for me personally as we've had this conversation. One of them is really absorbing that whole idea of the void. And one of the things that kind of occurred to me is that sometimes we can't tell if it's ego or guidance or not. But it seems that when we trust the guidance, just kind of put the ego aside, and we realize that our guidance is really an us-oriented thing and not a me-oriented thing, that those episodes of the dark nights and things like that get much less painful because you're constantly in a light space. So I think following guidance, this is going to sound really sophomoric to say it this way, but you got to practice. It's just a matter of practicing following guidance. It takes practice. And you got to just learn to trust it when it's not something you want to do. And when you know it's the right thing to do, it's just knowing that you end up safe on the other side.
Having faith.
Yeah. I mean, there's faith and guidance. They hold hands while they walk down the waterfront.
Because a lot of times overcoming the hesitation, the fear, the anxiety of going where intuition, where guidance wants you to go, can be the lesson in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just leads you to where you need to be.
And sometimes you have to go completely opposite the direction of external feedback from people.
Exactly.
When the internal guidance system is our own really truth, and we look for validation outside ourselves, we can almost be counterproductive in those ways.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, look, we're twinners.
That's right.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. We're twinners.
So, Darcy, we're kind of closing up the whole show now. What are your kind of final thoughts on following your guidance and some of the stuff that we've talked about? And what kind of final last wisdom would you like to leave?
More on a personal note for everyone who's listening is that, and again, it's an example that I use, is when things get so scattered and you feel like you're just spread really, really thin, and again, from experience, is to center yourself and pull all your activities and bring them back into your heart space. So you're gathering up all your little marbles and bringing them in and holding them close into your heart, and then just shooting your energy down into Mother Earth and up into the heavens, and just feel for spirit and feel for, or how, whatever you want to call it, feel for that truth and find what your inner truth is, and then reemerge after that session and walk your path.
Very good. Very good.
Nice. Very nice.
I don't know if I have anything to add there to that, because that was just really well put.
It was really well put. Thank you, Darcy.
Exactly. But I will attempt to do so anyway. I'm up for a challenge, you know. I'm always up for a challenge. So, yeah.
I love you guys.
And the feeling is mutual. I think the same, along the same lines as you and Darcy, is that it does take a little bit of time to develop that confidence in your guidance and what your guidance is telling you. I'm actually going to make a blanket statement that I normally don't do. I believe everybody makes mistakes when they're developing that confidence in their guidance, because I believe it does take a little bit of contrast to realize, you know, is this my guidance or is this my ego? Sometimes you're going to be like, oh, this is my guidance. Oh, nope, that was my ego. And so that's how everybody learns how to recognize the difference between the two. And I normally don't like making blanket statements, but I think for this one, I am going to go that far and say that, you know, it does take a little bit of time to develop, but once you get it developed, and you can back me up on this, David and Darcy, is it becomes much easier to get in connection with your guidance, get in connect and realize that, oh, is this my guidance or is this my ego? Is this in my best interest or is this not in my best interest? The more you develop that, the more you have experience with that, the easier that becomes of knowing which is which. And so that's kind of like my final thoughts on that.
Good. That's very valuable for, I'm sure a lot of people find that very valuable.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
I'm smart.
Darcy, it's been so fantastic having you with us today. You've added some fantastic stuff, so we really appreciate what you've shared with us.
Definitely.
I really, really enjoy this. And I really enjoy your podcast. The things that you're sharing with everybody, your listeners, and just sending it out to the universe, it's very, very awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Different words than awesome because I keep saying it.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too. I remember when we approached you, you responded back and said, "Can you see me jumping up and down in my seat for being a guest?" Like, you know, I think I can. I feel the earth moving. The spirit, there's a disturbance in the force, and it's coming from Washington State.
Well, actually, from California right now.
Oh, from California, that's right.
Oh, yeah. See, we got the whole country taken care of. Oof, there we go. So David and I and our special guest, I'm sure Darcy, would like to thank you all for listening to this episode. And if this is the first time of listening to us at Take the Red Pill, we hope you've enjoyed it. If you're a longtime listener, we thank you for your patronage and hope that we can continue to stretch your mind and entertain and inform and teach a little bit as we're talking.
And if you guys like your mind stretch, you should check out our Facebook page, which is endsinfacebook.com/TTRP podcast, because we're constantly posting links to information that pertains to the episode and anything that relates to it, and we really want to open up the conversation. So please let us know your thoughts in the comment sections of the things that we post on our status, or even come to our website, which is taketheredpillpodcast.com. You can find the show notes there of the things that we've talked about and some little extra stuff as well that pertain to the topic.
So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you to have a really good spiritual GPS.
That's cute. And I'm David Deere. What are we talking about?
We're talking about guidance.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'm David Deere. Just have faith. Trust your guidance.
I'm Darcy Hawkins. Keep your ear to the ground.
I like it.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.